The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. KCMD and KMED Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
This is Derek Strom with your NBC 5 weather update. Got an overnight low of about 36 degrees in the Rogue Valley, but we're going to heat up to about 52 degrees on your Monday with showers likely in the afternoon, along with some breezy winds. We'll cool down into the low 40s on your Monday night going into Tuesday morning.
Hey, it's Lars here with my trusted friend in the real estate market, Jared Hokanson with Hokanson Realty. With the marketplace the way it is today, what are you doing differently?
Hey, Lars, great question. We offer our guaranteed sale program where we set a price and a deadline. And if your home doesn't sell during that time, we will buy it. And you combine that with the marketing that we do to get our clients top dollar for the sale of their home. And we sell properties like no one else in Southern Oregon.
What does that mean for someone who lists his home or her home today?
Lars, for someone that lists today, they can start packing. With our guaranteed sale program and the marketing that we do that is second to none in the market, they will be able to get top dollar for their home and know that they didn't leave any money on the table during this changing market.
Thanks, Jared. Call Jared Hokanson today at 541-772-SOLD, 541-772-SOLD, or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
17 after 7, Mr. Outdoors here. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Always enjoy talking about what's happening with weather, outdoors, where to go for the fun. And Greg has been doing double duty, doing yeoman's work out there on the road. I guess you were in Klamath over the weekend, right, for their outdoor show?
Well, no. Actually, we had a weekend off.
Oh, you did?
It is this coming weekend. Oh. We will be in Klamath for the first ever Klamath Sportsman's and Outdoor Show. Joe Pate, who organizes these shows, and, you know, we've had the one here in Medford for 24 years. Next year will be 25 years. And I did help bring that show to the to town when I was working across town at KBOY. But anyway, he finally got a date with Klamath that worked in the general flow of the shows. So going to Klamath for the first time and going to be there this weekend and really looking forward to it. So it's also lining out to be tremendously great weather, which unfortunately for us with the shows, we actually would prefer just enough rain and snow to make people want to get to indoor activities. Now, when we were down in Redding, we had too much of a good thing, and the weather actually hurt attendance down there.
All right.
Plus, it didn't help that the media was telling everybody stay home.
Yeah, I imagine that would be the case. Now, by the way, Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford, sponsors your outdoor report, usually on Fridays. And we'll go back to Friday, next week? And then we'll do a Monday and Friday next week.
So,
but let me ask you.
People who love us doing this are gonna get a real treat because we're lined out to do a week from today and then doing Friday, and then we just stick with Fridays moving forward.
All right. Let me just ask you, as far as the weekend weather, did we get much snow? I mean, the snow was kind of a little bit, the predictions coming out of NOAA and everything were pretty talking about some high mountain snow, but not a lot sticking. And is that pretty much the same? Because it looks like next weekend we're going to get hot, almost hot for this time of year.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, and that is something I was actually looking at when you called me and said, hey, good morning, we're ready. And no, we did not get the kind of snow out of the series of systems that move through starting Saturday morning. We just did not get what we had expected to get. The wind, which was always going to be the most widespread component, had the biggest impact. The wind shut Mount Ashland down yesterday. They were not able to go. Well, today is a different day, and the wind is not an impact at all up there. And at the rate it was snowing for a time yesterday. I thought today was going to be a great powder day up there, and yeah, it'll still be a good one. There's 3 inches of new snow, but that 3 inches of new snow is a far cry from the 10 inches we expected to see up there. Same thing with Mount Shasta. They were in a winter storm warning that expired at 5 p.m. yesterday afternoon, and they're reporting 2 inches of new snow in the last 24 hours, and that's about the way it seemed to go. We just did not see nearly the amount of snow that we had seen out of the previous storms, even though the same level of warnings and winter weather advisories and winter storm warnings went up. This time, the snowfall just didn't, you know, literally measure up to expectation. And if you were traveling, and a lot of people were this weekend, that actually wound up to be good news.
Yeah.
And now with the time change, travel is also going to change. We're going to get into that time of the year where really your only winter driving conditions now for the rest of the winter driving season, which ends on March 31st, which is Easter, you know, it's going to be the overnight and the morning hours that will be the big concern. If you can delay travel until the middle part of the day in the afternoon, road conditions should be pretty good. Now that I said all of that, looking at our extendeds, this is the last gasp of winter we are going to see here, because from now through, well, I'm going to put it as middle of April, we're not expecting to see anything but above to much above average temperatures and dry conditions.
So we're turning dry then. Now, is dry condition once again the hallmark of El Nino, the El Nino pattern, a little drier pattern?
It can be, but, you know, honestly, the El Nino is fading away much faster than anybody had expected to see happen, and we're already starting to see the transition back to La Nina conditions. So we'll see how this all plays out. But right now, what we're seeing, yeah, that would be something that we would see with the El Nino type pattern. Having a warm and dry spring would not be unexpected at all. And due to the fact that starting next Monday, I resume my baseball announcer duties. Actually, this forecast with baseball beginning for, and I announced for North Medford High School, this is exactly what we want to see from baseball point of view for a forecast.
All right. Fair enough there, Mr. Outdoors. Well, we appreciate the take on it. Are there any hunting seasons that are coming up that we need to be aware of? Because you know me, I get my meat from the supermarket. I'm not a hunter, but I admire people who do. All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the days now of $24 Five Guys hamburgers and fry orders, suddenly I think hunting may become a lot more appealing to people.
Good day.
And yes, there is a major hunting season coming up, our biggest one for the spring in Oregon. And Bill, get ready. Wild turkey surprise.
I go right back to Warner Brothers cartoons with Bugs Bunny. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly, because on April 15th, which is perfect, because Oregon starts its wild turkey hunting season on the day you turn in your taxes and you're bad enough to go and kill something,
yep.
Oregon gives you the chance to do it without fear of arrest and prison time, because wild turkey season will open. And with the conditions we see coming up in the forecast, well, that's going to both help and hurt. It obviously, when you've got warm conditions and dry conditions, well, the turkeys will be active. And unfortunately, when you've got sunny and warm and dry conditions, it tends to work against hunters because turkeys do get active. And then with the way things work out, well, active turkeys are also very vigilant turkeys. They're not, you know, thinking about, well, things like the weather impact. I mean, you want to have it where it's not pouring down rain or snowing. But on the other hand, I don't think, you know, for me, going out to go turkey hunting, seeing highs 70s, maybe even 80s, and dry conditions are exactly what I want to see either.
Mm, all right. Now, I've never had wild turkey. Have you? I'm presuming you have.
Oh, yeah.
What does it taste like as contrasted with the standard supermarket butterball, if you could describe it?
Well, it's a much drier bird it is. There is a bit of gamey flavor to it, and I will guarantee you this thing of deep frying turkeys absolutely began with people looking for a way to make wild turkeys far more palatable, if you will, especially to people who really don't enjoy a gamey flavor to things. And deep frying wild turkeys is absolutely the way to go. Once that came out, once I discovered it, it was kind of game over. The other way you can do it is you can put them on a smoker and then smoke them. But if you're going to do that, honestly, I just say you grind them up and then you make literally wild turkey jerky.
Well, okay, yeah.
Well, it will work well for that purpose, but, you know, again, you've got something you've really got to be vigilant about because it's just dry to begin with.
Yeah, so if anything, when you're cooking with wild turkey, you really have to find some way to get some fat into it is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
All right. All right, got it. And I don't mind gamey flavor. I really don't. I don't mind gaminess at all. Linda, just turns her off like that. Yep. You know, she has very sensitive taste, but I don't mind it. I mean, I like duck. Of course, duck's very fatty meat one way or the other. I love duck. And
in camp situations, we've literally flavored the stuff with Pendleton whiskey, and that works too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Whiskey into the...
soaking it in a brine that includes Pendleton whiskey, and it turns out amazing. But again, that's something where we kind of put it in one of those older, big, you know, pots, almost like a Dutch oven type pot, and then you soak it in a brine and you leave it soak for at least 24 hours. And then you cook it, and, man, that turned out amazing.
All right. Well, Mr. Outdoors, I hope you have a great time at Klamath this weekend. We'll see you again on Monday and then go back to Fridays after that point here, too. How are we doing on snowpack overall, if you had to? I know you're spitballing it right now. There have been no official readings of it lately. But
actually, no, there have been.
There have?
And let me take a look at that because... You know, here's the thing. We're talking about dry conditions, mm-hmm. and normally it's kind of like, oh my goodness, that's such bad news. But we are coming off a ridiculous...
it's been a pretty wet winter in some ways, I thought.
A ridiculous amount of rain and snow through January and February. And right now, taking a look at the product that NOAA puts out, we are much above normal for pretty much the entirety of the Rogue Basin snowpack. We're looking fabulous. And now I'm going to give you a point example. And here's my point example. Crater Lake National Park at Steele Center, they are reporting 129 inches of snow on the ground this morning, and average would be 101.
So we're looking good up there.
Over 2 feet of snow more than what would be average. And that's pretty indicative across the board. Mount Ashland, for example, at Mid-Mountain, at the top of Windsor Chair, they have 100 inches. So, and 83 at the lodge. With that kind of snowpack, Mount Ashland is definitely going to be able to operate into April, you know, and then once we hit April, they do go to weekends only operation. But as long as people are still showing up and saying, hey, we want to ski, you know, they're going to look to extend the season, especially this year since they missed Christmas vacation. But since they did open, you know, the amount of people going to the mountain, it's been a very good season since they've been able to be open. But, yeah, I would suspect we're looking at a situation where they're going to extend their season out into April. So in that aspect, we've got a ton of really good news. So everything looks good. Even though we're going to be seeing some warmer and drier conditions here, I'm not too worried about it because the last I saw on the reports where it definitely breaks it down, we were over 100% of average for the Rogue Basin for snow water equivalent in the snowpack. We're in very good shape. Medford is still ahead for the water year, meaning amount of rainfall we've seen since October 1st. So, and it's been years since I've been able to say that too, by the way. So, yeah, no, we got blessed with a huge amount of rainfall in January, February, and so far into March. I mean, honestly, March right now, if it stopped raining and we didn't see, and I'm going to pull this up just to make sure I'm looking at what our most current readings are coming out of the weekend. But we were at a point, yeah, so far month to date in Medford, 1.70 inches. Average annual in March is 1.80 inches. So we're only a tenth away from hitting the average for March. We are 1.09 inches above average
overall. Yeah, my only concern that I keep an eye on, what I get concerned about when I hear about warm spring, I think about explosion of one-hour fuels that end up drying out in summer. That's what I get concerned about.
It's always going to come down to, and regardless of whether it was a wet winter or a dry winter, it's always going to come down to what we now know is the major factor, and that is how much lightning activity will we see, especially July, August, and September, because when we get our really bad smoke situations, that is what it is all predicated on.
All right, Mr. Outdoors, we will talk with you next Monday, okay? We'll catch you then after you get done with Klamath, and then we'll see you. All right, thanks so much at Rogue Weather, okay? You take care.
You got it, Bill.
And, of course, the Outdoor Report, Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford. We appreciate their sponsorship.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point is a family diner designed to please everyone in the family. Along with 13 burgers, there's 8 fresh sandwiches and 7 different melts, all served with fresh-cut fries. There's Carolina chicken smothered in mushrooms, onions, bacon, cheddar cheese, and honey mustard sauce. There's 7 seafood baskets, hickory smoked ribeyes, chicken fried chicken and steak, and so much more. You're invited to Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point. Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
If you're going on a spring road trip, click on the travel report on KMED.com. We have changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout the region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Sponsored by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Every year, over 3 million older adults are treated in emergency rooms for fall-related injuries. If you or a loved one are concerned about falling, Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place is hosting a free fall safety webinar on Friday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. The webinar will feature physical therapist Mike Studer and discuss the importance of balance and walking gait in preventing falls, along with the effects falling can have on mental health. Visit PrestigeCanHelp.com to sign up today. Again, that's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, there's numbers out this morning. Unemployment rate did spike to a two-year high. And if you look at the jobless numbers once again, what do we see? Oh, that's right. Revised downward. Why do we have 2 more revisions downward? We always have downward revisions. The change in total non-farm employment for December was revised down by 43,000. The change from January revised downward by 124,000. So they come out with great numbers, and then they bury the downward revisions that seem to always happen almost every single month. You know why? Everybody knows why, because they're just lying to us. And they're using, you know, these departments to make Joe look better than he does.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ROCK to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ROCK to 42424. That's ROCK to 42424.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
7:35, we're going to break for news, and then State Rep. Kim Wallin will be joining me here in just a few minutes. I'm looking forward to that. Kind of a wrap-up. We're going to be talking to a lot of the legislators this week, kind of the wrap-up with the legislative session. Actually, ended a couple of days early. A couple of days there, too. Uh-oh. Phone's there, live without a net. I don't know. Is it someone who's crazy or not? Let's find out. See, you know, here, call screeners. We don't need call screeners. We just take you live, and I'm just going to have to dance with you one way or the other. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, Bill Hahn, Grants Pass. I only got a lick at the apple before. I'd like a bite this time.
Okay.
In reference to 17-116, the charter.
Yeah, the proposed charter change. Yeah.
Yeah, in Josephine County, I bet the city of Grants Pass really loves how it's being divided up into four different parties to the county new charter control. And what that does is pits each of the four sections of Grants Pass against each other in reference to changes that the county makes.
Yeah, in essence, what I've been talking about, it's like a divide and conquer sort of situation. Makes it more difficult. You know, as it is right now, we have three county commissioners who make decisions based on the county as a whole, the entire county, and everyone votes for each one of those, one way or the other.
One of the things that it says in this brochure that I mentioned earlier is that the county commissioners shall serve without salary and without benefits, and that they shall serve with a stipend equal to 15% of the circuit court judge salary.
Now, is that in the new proposal? The new one?
That's in the new. That's in the 17-116. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that will not work according to state law. State law has superseded a lot of that ability to do such things. That's going
to
be a tough one.
Reason to vote no, and everybody should get their rumps in gear and talk to their neighbors and get a copy of this brochure, because I'm telling you, it really lays it out by comparison really good.
All right. Very good. And that's down at the GOP headquarters across from the
courthouse.
All right. Good job. Thank you for that, Ron. 7:38, State Rep. Wallin, next. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish. KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Villa with your NBC5 Morning News Update. March is Speed Awareness Month, and many local police agencies are collaborating to spread the word and closely monitor the roads. Agencies include OSP, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, Medford Police, and more. It is all funded by ODOT and NHTSA, who say back in 2021, over 12,000 people died nationwide from speeding. Speeding causes people to lose control of their vehicles and can increase the risk of injury or death. OSP Captain Kyle Kennedy said in a statement, quote, "Speed is a significant factor when it comes to crash dynamics. The energy difference 10 miles per hour makes during a collision can mean the difference between minor injuries and serious injuries or even fatal injuries. Our troopers patrol the roadways to keep speed down so that in the event of a crash, the impact is minimized to those involved," end quote. Agencies on the coast are also participating this month. Sunday, the Southern Oregon Flea Market at the Jackson County Expo returned. Despite the rain and the time change, organizers say they still saw over 2,000 people. They hosted 190 vendors selling everything from artwork, clothes, food, antiques, and more. In July, the Southern Oregon Flea Market will be expanding to an indoor and outdoor market. This will allow nearly 400 vendors. The market manager, Tanner Nelson, says he's excited for it to be the biggest flea market in Southern Oregon. For NBC 5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Have a great start to your week.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jolene at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and your ability to navigate wet, slick roads. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Continental, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
State Representative Kim Wallen back on the program here, and we're going to just kind of wrap up a wrap-up of the legislative session. It actually went a couple of days early. I was kind of surprised about that. What did everything get done that was potentially supposed to get done here? Kim, welcome back.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, everything got done. There was definitely an attitude that we were going to just do what was necessary. This speaker of the House is significantly different from Tina Kotek as Speaker of the House. And then so Dan Rayfield, and he resigned, and we elected a new speaker. So we're now two removed from Tina, and there's just a different attitude. I know all Democrats are different than we are, but Rayfield and the new speaker, Fahey, both at least allow real conversations on some topics. I mean, it's not completely better, but it's different in any event. So yes, we were ready to get out.
Now, probably the biggest news here that most have been concerned about was with the changes to Measure 110. It wasn't totally repealed, but it's been brought back. What changes will we expect? Because it goes into effect September of this year is when we're going to start going to see it in the criminal justice system. And do you believe it will be effective? Maybe you could explain why. I know we're kind of covering some ground we've covered before, but it's good to reiterate it.
Always good to reiterate. Essentially, we've brought back the elements. I mean, in Jackson County, the way that we were handling drug crime, the possession of a controlled substance, so just possession, nothing else, not dealing, not public consumption, not consuming within area so many feet of a park. The way that we handled drug possession in Jackson County, because our jail is so small, is going to be pretty similar, plus we'll have more treatment. So if that makes sense, it should be better, actually. We got a lot of people in Jackson County. We didn't really put people in jail for mere possession until they had ratcheted up so many times of being caught that there was finally an opportunity. The way the crime used to work, if you got caught enough times, it would come up to a level where you would do some jail time or treatment. We always offered treatment as an option. We just didn't offer it immediately.
Huh.
So that immediate offer of treatment, again, we don't have the beds, but the person will be on probation until the bed is ready. So in some ways, it's better than even how we were handling it before.
Well, I hope you're right about that. Now, what was finally settled upon? Was it a misdemeanor Class A, Class B, or was this one? Is this the one in which there was a redefinition? This is a special definition just meant for the street drug classifications.
It's an unclassified misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
There, I'm told by criminal law practitioners, of which I am not one, that there are other crimes that are also unclassified in this way. They're special crimes. I don't know what they are, but this is a special drug misdemeanor. The only difference really between this one and A is the amount of jail time that one could earn potentially.
Huh. I would be really curious, and I know you don't practice criminal law, but I don't know if this is something you could even research. It just came to my mind that I know that it's a crime right now if you were to have someone's prescription, just something which was prescribed to someone else, and you were possessing it and or using it technically. I don't know how many people get popped for those sort of things. I'm wondering if the Measure 4000 or House Bill 4002 changes are more or less serious than the charges you would get if someone just took your, okay, let's say someone had your oxycodone pills and they took your prescription and walked around and was popping the pills. You know, there's a, that may be a federal crime. I don't know. But
No, it was prior to, it was a federal crime, mm-hmm. but Measure 110, just like our Measure 90 that gave us legal marijuana, it scoffed at the federal law on that and said,
okay,
in Oregon, possession of, quote, personal use amounts, close quote, was not a crime. So it's that possession that's the important word.
All right. So we are essentially sanctuary druggies, right? Is what
well,
we
were.
Sanctuary states, right?
That's
right?
Correct. That's mm-hmm. where Measure 110 put us, 100%. Mm. And this does away with that. Again, if you steal someone's prescription drugs and you possess them and you are not legally in possession of them because they are not prescribed to you, that's a crime.
Oregon Live has an interesting story out, which is it will be a crime to possess fentanyl in Oregon again, and here's what to expect next. And they bring up the issue of deflection. And
right.
even the reporters there are not exactly sure how that will work. Are the state legislators sure, or better have a better grasp of how deflection will work for someone? All right, someone's on the Greenway, or they're over at Riverside Park, and they're in trouble with the police. The police find people with these street drugs that have been recriminalized. What happens after that when it comes to deflection? Can you maybe go down that road?
Sure. Every county may view that a little differently. There is local control. And so, for example, every county but Multnomah might clean up their drug problem. Or maybe every county will clean up their drug problem. It's going to be very county dependent, which I think is good. I think it's good to have local control as much as possible. But that is what the offer of treatment will be. And the officer has discretion when he comes upon a person who's possessing, using drugs. If that's the only crime, that has to be the only crime that's being committed, is the mere possession of the drug.
Okay, that's a very important distinction. All right. This is the only crime.
Very important
distinction. So they can't be sitting in the tent filled with stolen property and then get deflection, right? I'm just saying that, sometimes we've seen these kind of things happen. We've read the stories, okay?
There would be local control. So in some counties, then that's going to be ratcheting up the number of crimes, and deflection will likely not be offered. But our officers know the people, right? They know, not just our officers all over the state, they know who they're encountering. And that's where the discretion was so important to the law enforcement. That was a non-negotiable to them, was the ability to, for one, make it a crime so that they can search. Once you have probable cause of a crime, you can search for evidence of further crimes.
Hmm.
And so that was another important element. I learned a lot about criminal law while we were doing this. So, yes, evidence of further crimes can and most likely will in Jackson County result in you not being offered deflection.
All right. So deflection only for people who are truly being popped by police or sheriff's deputies for drug crime only, or just the drug possession only. Okay.
Correct.
Now, how much money did the legislature end up pushing into the deflection programs? Because something tells me it's going to be a greater burden on the criminal justice systems. No doubt about that, correct?
Like more on the treatment side. So that part's not complicated, but what people really wanted, and we learned this from polling, was people did want the marijuana tax money to be used to offer treatment. And that wasn't previously, prior to Measure 110, the marijuana money. And that pot of money was way bigger than anybody ever imagined when they first passed, when Oregonians first passed that law. And if you go back, in Jackson County, we said, yes, we'll recriminalize, or I mean, yes, we'll make marijuana legal, but we imposed a 25% tax, which immediately got a haircut down to 3% at the legislature in the very next session. But even with that, it was more than double what anybody thought. And so that money was being handed back to the counties and back to the cities. And in Jackson County and in Medford, we were using that for law enforcement.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. It was for those livability teams, right? Didn't a lot of that money go for them?
Yes, it did. So we saw it being used for that. Hmm. And other counties didn't. Other counties used it to fund their libraries and community centers and all kinds of things. We thought of it as law enforcement money here, but that wasn't the case elsewhere.
Now, will the change, though, with 4002, does that mean that there is not going to be marijuana money for Medford, as an example, on livability teams, and so there's going to have to be a scramble for additional funding for that? Just curious.
It won't really change what Measure 110 scraped that money anyway. So
okay.
So this actually gives some of that money back, in a sense, because it will be used for the deflection programs, the specialty courts, and the treatment, particularly the treatment. So we were running drug courts anyway. We had specialty courts anyway in Jackson County. We had figured out a way to fund those. Again, because our jail was too small, we sort of didn't have a choice. But this will actually give us some additional money for community corrections, which is parole and probation, which is where you're going to be on probation until you get into your treatment bed. And there will be a burden ultimately to the state, yes.
Okay.
But some of it is going to be covered by the marijuana money because that didn't change. That didn't revert to pre-Measure 110. The state kept that, and they'll be doling it out for deflection and treatment. But I think it's a worthwhile thing to spend state dollars on compared to a lot of the things we buy with our state dollars.
Yeah, arguably true, State Representative Kim Wallen. And another question here. Now that street drugs have been recriminalized for users, but like I said, deflection available if you've not done any other crimes in connection with this possession. What happens, if anything, has anything changed for the drug dealer industry itself and the drug traffickers? Has anything changed on that? And I don't know. I don't think Measure 110 ever made it soft on – well, I could be wrong about that. I don't know. I heard from law enforcement that it was difficult sometimes to tell who was dealing and who just had their personal amounts. But could you break down anything that happened from 4002 on?
There was a case called the Boyd-Hubbell case that was decided by our Supreme Court in Oregon, state court, that said that just because you had scales and baggies and razor blades, you weren't necessarily a drug dealer.
Really?
So you had to be, yes, you had to be caught in the act of actually selling the drugs in order to be popped for dealing. So we did, 4002 addresses that and says, no, if you're in possession of drug paraphernalia and it listed out, then that is dealing. So that was a case where the court was able to say we weren't clear enough in our underlying statute, so we made the underlying statute clearer. I was told we've probably missed about 2,000 dealing cases since that case was decided, but we undid the Boyd-Hubbell case in 4002.
And so yes, the language has been tightened up and you made it clear. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
correct.
Yeah, legislative intent is very important. All right. Yeah. We'll shift away from 110. At this point, it's going to be a matter of let's just see what happens.
Yes,
see if it has to
absolutely.
Be touched up. That's all you can do at this point.
Exactly.
All right. Now, campaign finance reform. I'm not even going to go to the housing thing. I don't think any housing plan that Governor Kotek is really big on is going to do nearly what she says. But that's my opinion, so I'm just going to set that aside. Campaign finance reform, has anything good been done, or was it just kind of like we were alluding to, that it was probably going to be about just stopping the ballot measure, but not all that effective? What do you think?
Well, because of the Citizens United case that was decided at the federal Supreme Court, which expounds on our constitutional right to free speech, because we have a constitutional right to free speech, and in order to – money is considered to be speech, right? You speak with your dollars.
That's right, Citizens United.
Body. Mm-hmm. Right. Because of that case, most campaign finance reform is a mirage, because – the money is going to be spent. Media costs what media costs, and people are not going to just leave it lie and let people figure out. People are not going to not buy media. It's just not going to be done by the individual who's running. It's going to be done on their behalf. And that's already done already. You get flyers from people attacking candidates. It's that nobody can tell where that flyer came from. Mm-hmm. No one can tell who made that attack at.
Happens all the time. Yep.
Happens all the time. And campaign finance reform purports to fix that, but there's no such thing as fixing that. There's no way with Citizens United, i.e. our Constitution, that you can stop people from buying media to say what they want about whoever they want. That's just free speech. Free speech, the right to free speech doesn't protect speech you like. It protects the speech you don't like. And so there's not really any effective campaign finance reform.
All right. So what do you think accomplished here? Because the fact that it was being pushed by mostly your Democratic colleagues here tells me that it will go easier on the favored groups that tend to buy the politicians of the left in the state, Oregon, in the legislature, in statewide offices. Is that a fair assessment or suspicion of mine? And if not, I'll leave my suspicions.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say it's going to be better for them than it is for us. It's about the same. It's slightly better for them, but they already have such an advantage because of the union money. But
yeah,
as long as people stay in their public employee unions and keep paying their dues, the unions are going to continue to have enormous pots of government money, state money. And so that we were always up against that. This compromise, it was to avoid the ballot measure, for sure. It was a negotiated settlement to get them to withdraw the ballot measure. They did. The ballot measures were withdrawn in writing. And so, but it was a coalition of the union and the business interests. OBI, Oregon Business and Industry, was 100% at the table with the unions making this compromise.
All right. Let's say I wanted to contribute to a candidate and other people listening want to contribute to a candidate. What will be the limits then for individual contributions?
I think the limits are 3,000 from one individual to or business organization to one candidate in a cycle. I think it's for a whole, so for me, it would be 2 years. I think, so not an annual contribution, but a term contribution. I think they landed on 3,000. And there's even, this is how out of touch the ballot measure proponents were. They limited small dollar contributions. Which is crazy to me.
So if you're limiting the small dollar contributions, that means you're encouraging big buck contributions instead.
You're encouraging dark money contribute. You're encouraging dark money, i.e. other people are buying the media, not the candidate. So it does push the money out. I gave a speech about it on the floor, and many Democrats came to me and said, you said exactly the right things about this. And I said the same things I'm telling you right now. Okay. It takes away candidate independence and the ability of the candidate to have their own message.
This is somewhat concerning because this would imply then that the the lobbies, as you know, Herman Bertschinger used to always talk about, well, you know, there's the trial lawyers and there's the unions and then there's the lobby. So it would appear that the lobbies have increasing power than they did before after campaign finance reform.
Yes, exactly. Yes, they have more. They don't have less. That's correct.
Okay. Boy,
yeah, it's not really. But the people who were pushing it, the proponents of it, really are ideologues who their stated goal was to get money out of politics.
Not going to happen, though. That's not going to happen. Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And so we were chasing. It was a fool's errand. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how this goes.
It's just like 4002 with Measure 110 reform, right? We have to see how it goes. All right.
We'll have to see how it goes. I have more confidence in 4002 and less in campaign finance.
All right. And on that note, we appreciate all the talks during the legislative session, State Rep. Kim Wolin, and we'll have you back. You be well, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. State Representative Kim Wolin, House District 6. It's a minute after 8.